Exodus chapter 3 and verses 11 to 22. I'm giving my sermon this title, The Marks of an Effective Servant of God. If you're a Christian here this morning, you have a desire in your heart to serve God. A Christian who doesn't have a desire to serve God needs to examine himself very carefully and even to ask the question, am I truly a Christian? When we read the Bible and you read the Old Testament and you read the New Testament, you find this is a truth that is found everywhere. Those who come to God and are saved through faith in Christ and have come to know the living God and to love Him, they become servants of God. You know, this is an interesting thing. In the Bible, there isn't such a thing as a person who is a Christian, who is born again by the Spirit of God, who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ and has found salvation through faith in Christ, who then does nothing for the kingdom of God, who does nothing in the local church, but just goes along in his life without service to God. On Tuesday afternoons, a few of us meet to study Scripture. And Tuesday gone, we've been going through the book of Romans, and we were studying the last chapter of Romans. Now, you know, in the last chapter of Romans, Paul greets a number of people in Rome. And we were mentioning this, the number of times he mentions people in Rome who worked. That phrase, these people worked for Christ, or are workers in Christ, or who have given of themselves in Christ. And it occurs again and again. Now, these people whom Paul is greeting in Rome, they're nobody that we know. They're just some ordinary Christians. But they were workers, servants of God. So this morning I want to look at Moses, and I want to see the marks of an effective servant so that we may learn from him. How should we become great servants of God? In the Bible, Moses is one of the greatest servants that God ever raised. Moses is the man who led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then Moses is the man who went up to Mount Sinai and brought the law of God and gave the law and explained the law to the people of Israel. And Moses then instituted the priesthood. He's the one who set into motion the practice of Judaism in the Old Testament. So the priesthood and the tabernacle and the sacrificial services, it is Moses who put all this in order. And it is Moses who led the children of Israel through 40 years in the wilderness, right up to the borders of the promised land. He was a great servant of God. And yet I say this to you, that doesn't mean that we look up to him and we say, well, of course, he could do that and we can't. There's no point in reading the Old Testament if we raise some of these people on a high platform and we say they were great saints, super saints, and we can't attain to them. Then we have to ask the question, why is their history written then? Well, their history is written that we may learn from it and we may seek to follow their example. So Moses teaches us this, the marks of an effective servant of God. Now there are three things in this passage that I want to bring to you, three marks of Moses, and I put them before you and say to you, if you can get hold of this, you also can be an effective servant in the kingdom of God. Three things I want to show you about Moses. And the first is this, that Moses knew he was a weak man. Moses knew he was a weak man. God speaks to Moses. And God says to Moses, we looked at this passage last week, and God says to Moses in verse 7, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. And then God says to him in verse 10, come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So God says to Moses, I've seen the sufferings of my people, and I've decided to do something about it, and you, the man I'm going to use, I'm going to send you to the children of Israel, and you are going to bring these people out. Now in verse 11, Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out? Now, it's a very interesting statement. As I've said before, Moses spent the first 40 years of his life in the palace. And the New Testament tells us something about his life in the palace. There are some interesting verses in the New Testament which speak about Moses in the palace. And this is what it says. Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. This is part of Stephen's speech in Acts chapter 7. This is what Stephen says about him. Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He wasn't ignorant, he wasn't uneducated, he wasn't a fool. He was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Now you can imagine that he's being brought up in the palace, and perhaps he's being instructed in leadership. He may not become Pharaoh, but he would certainly be one of the princes who would be there as an aide to Pharaoh. You know how in some of these monarchies in the Middle East, you have the king, and then his first cousin is the Minister of Defense, and his brother is the Foreign Secretary, and his second cousin is the education minister and so on. There's nothing wrong in that. These people have been trained in leadership, and they occupy cabinet positions. So Stephen says Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty. He wasn't just average. He was mighty in his words and deeds. So Moses spent 40 years in the palace being trained for leadership, and he was good at it. But God didn't appear to him when he was 40. Because Moses at that time probably would have been a very arrogant man, full of himself. Moses would have been the kind of person who'd been to Eton and Oxford and knew that he was good at his job and knew that he was a man full of ability and he knew that he could do things. And let me say this about God's servants. Those who are proud and arrogant and full of themselves are of no use in the kingdom of God. So God, in his providences, takes Moses out of the palace and sends him into the wilderness of Midian for 40 more years. And I've said this from this pulpit before. Moses spent 40 years learning he was a somebody. He then spent 40 years learning he was a nobody. Because the next 40 years removed any thoughts he had about how brilliant he was and how great he was. Can you imagine 40 years in the wilderness of Midian, every day doing just one job, tending sheep? That's all he did for 40 years. And at the end of that 40 years, at the age of 80 now, he's a man who has ability, but he is a man who does not place his confidence in his ability. He is a man who has training in leadership, but he is a man who does not place his confidence in his training in his leadership. He is a man who has great ability to lead people, but he doesn't have confidence in himself. So when God appears to him, he's a highly able man who is also a broken man. And that is the kind of man that God uses. God will not share his glory with any man. God will not have it that his servants are full of confidence in themselves. God will not have it that his servants know that they in and of themselves are able and educated and able to do great things and do great things and then boast of their ability and boast of their works. God will not have that. What God wants is able people who will not have confidence in their ability, but have confidence in God and depend upon God. So God has, by his providences, trained Moses for leadership. First 40 years, he learns all the craft of leadership. But then the next 40 years, he learns, actually, it's not my ability that will get things done. And so when God appears to him, Moses knows he was a weak man. He knows that although he has ability, he mustn't place confidence in it. I wonder if today you are thinking about how you will serve God, and you should. Whatever age you are, and I remind you, Moses was 80 at this point. He was 80. Now, I think most of us here aren't yet 80. So if you're saying to me, well, I'm a bit old, I say to you, Moses was 80, okay? Now, I hope you're thinking, how can I serve God today with my gifts? And I say this to you. If you think to yourself, you know, I'm very weak, really. And I can do very little, really. I don't seem to have much to offer. You are prime candidate for a great and effective ministry in the kingdom of God. As long as your words are not a kind of an inferiority complex, and you enjoy your inferiority complex, we don't want that. We don't want people who are always running themselves down, have an inferiority complex and you know, enjoy it and enjoy the attention they get because of their inferiority complex. We don't want that. What we want is people who have a sober judgment of themselves. This is what Paul says to the Romans. Think of yourselves with sober judgment. And who know that really they're not able to do much unless God helps them. So Moses knew he was a weak man. He placed no confidence in his ability. He had learned in those 40 years, he had learned humility. And the greatest mark of God's servant is humility. God treasures humility in his people. And God hates pride. You know, if God says something once, it's important. If he says it twice, it's very important. If he says it three times, it's hugely important. And three times in the Bible, three times it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you have feelings of humility today and you think, well, I don't think I can do much, perhaps God is about to give you a great ministry and to use you mightily in his kingdom. So that's the first mark of Moses, his humility. He knew he was a weak man. But there's a second mark of an effective servant of God, and it is this. Moses met with the living and true God. Moses met with the living and true God. When Moses says in verse 11, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Isn't it interesting? God doesn't remind Moses of his abilities. God doesn't say to Moses, oh Moses, what are you talking about? Don't you remember you were brought up in the palace? Don't you remember all that training that you received in leadership? How you were trained in the wisdom, all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and how you were mighty in word and deed. God doesn't remind Moses of his abilities. God reveals his character, God's character, to Moses. When you look at this passage from verse 14 all the way to verse 22, This passage is basically a repetition of chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, which we looked at last week, where God reveals himself. Because God doesn't want Moses to have confidence in himself, in Moses. God wants Moses to have confidence in God. So God, in those verses from 14, is revealing his character to Moses. And God is saying to Moses, yes, you are right when you say, who am I? And you're right to think like this. Well, I will reveal to you who I am, so that you place your confidence in me. So Moses, in that burning bush, has a meeting with the living and true God. Now let's look briefly at those verses from 14 to 22, because there are four aspects of God's character that are found there. And Moses needed to know those four aspects of God's character. I'm not going to develop them this morning, because we will develop them as we go through Exodus. But notice in verse 14, there is this aspect of God's character. He is eternal and unchangeable. That's what that phrase means when God says to Moses, I am. It's the Hebrew verb to be. And it carries with it this meaning, I am eternal. I am, I always have been, and I always will be. And it carries with it the meaning, I'm unchangeable. Who I am, I always have been. Who I am, I will always be. That's how that is to be understood. When he says, I am, it means I am the great I am. I'm unchangeable. I never change. I've always existed. I will always exist. And who I've always been is who I will always be. So he is the eternal, unchangeable God. And then he reminds Moses that he is faithful to his word. He says to him in verse 15, say this to the people of Israel, the God, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. In other words, he reminds Moses of the promises he has made, and he says, I always keep my promises. We had that in the family talk this morning. That I'm faithful to my promises. When I make a promise to Abraham, I keep that promise. When I make a promise to Isaac and to Jacob, I keep those promises. And I've come to you this morning because I'm keeping my promises. You know, it's an interesting thing that this is the first time the word of God has been heard in over 400 years. God had spoken to Abraham, and God had spoken to Isaac, and God had spoken to Jacob. And then there is this gap of 400 plus years when the people of Israel were in Egypt, and we have no record of God speaking. And suddenly in the wilderness, out of a burning bush, the word of God comes in this spectacular fashion. There's an echo of that later, isn't there? Between the Old and the New Testament. The Old Testament finishes, there's a 400-year gap, and then in the wilderness, John the Baptist comes and begins to speak the word of God. So God here reminding Moses that he is faithful to his word. And then the third aspect of his character, God reminds him that he is compassionate and merciful. He says, I have seen the condition of my people. I've seen what they're going through. I've seen the problems they're in. I've seen the trials that they're facing. And we saw this last week, how God had reminded Moses of this. I have seen what they're going through. I've heard their prayers. And I know. I've entered into their experience. I know what they're going through. And then fourthly, God reminds Moses of his power, that he is almighty and powerful. He says in verse 20, I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. And after that, he will let you go. God is eternal. God is faithful. God is compassionate. God is powerful. Moses met with the living God. And Moses understood the character of God. And Moses remembered the character of God. Moses grew in his understanding of the character of God. As Moses carried on in his service, So his understanding, his grasp of this fact that God is eternal and God is faithful and God is compassionate and God is powerful, his grasp of these things increased. What makes a great servant of God? It is the person who grows in his knowledge of God. It is not the person who grows in his knowledge of various devices of how to minister. You know, it's not the person who reads books and books on how to preach and how to preach better and how to evangelize and how to evangelize better. Now, these things have a place. But the more I remain in the Christian ministry, the more I understand that I need to grow in my knowledge of God. I need to grasp with greater clarity and greater intensity the character of God, the person of God, and I need to come closer to Him and understand Him more. And then we become great servants. So Moses, in the first place, knew he was a weak man. And Moses, secondly, met with the living and true God. He learned something of God's character and grew on it, grew in his grasp of it. And then thirdly and finally, and I've already alluded to this, but I'll develop it a bit more. The third thing about this, Moses depended upon God alone for his strength. Moses depended upon God alone for his strength. In verse 12, God says something to Moses, and those few words, from this point onwards, determine Moses' life. God says to Moses in verse 12, "But I will be with you. I will be with you." Just those few words, "I will be with you." And that has revolutionized Moses' life. Because Moses, you see, has this sense of being hopeless and helpless. He's been in the wilderness 40 years. And God says, "Yes, I know you are hopeless and helpless, but I will be with you." And you read in the following chapters, Moses then goes to the people of Israel and speaks to them. And Moses goes to Pharaoh and speaks to him. And Moses is able to do great signs because God is with him. And Moses is able to lead the people of children out of Egypt because God is with him. And Moses is able to part the Red Sea because God is with him. And through the 40 years of wilderness, which were far from easy, I mean, they were the hardest years of his life. If he thought these middle 40 years were hard, tending sheep in the wilderness, they were as nothing compared to shepherding the people of God in the wilderness. Well, they were very demanding years because the people were so they were so rebellious against God. And yet Moses shepherded the people of God for 40 years because God was with him. There's one incident I want us to look at later in the book of Exodus. Will you just turn to chapter 33? And there's a passage which I think again explains to us how Moses works. Chapter 33 of Moses. Of Exodus. And just look at verse 15. Moses is speaking with God. It's one of those times when Moses is engaged with God in prayer. Exodus chapter 33. And in verse 15, "And Moses said to God, 'If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here.'" If your presence does not go with us, don't bring us up from here. Because God had said to Moses, "I will send you, but my presence will not go with you," because the children had been so sinful, the children of Israel. And Moses says, "If your presence is not with us, well, we won't go. I refuse to move from Sinai until I have this guarantee from you that your presence is with us." So Moses knew the presence of God. And Moses cultivated a walk with God. And Moses followed the decrees of God. You know, in many ways, being a servant of God is remarkably simple. There isn't anything mystical or difficult or super spiritual. It's actually very simple. You meet with the living God and you have an experience of salvation because you have met with the living God and you've seen your sin and you've seen the glory of Christ. And you come to Christ in faith and you meet with Him. And you grow in your knowledge of Him and you walk in obedience to Him. Servanthood is founded upon walking with God and obeying Him. That's it. I don't think it's any more complicated than that. Serving God simply means grow in your knowledge of Him and walk in obedience. Read His word and do what it says. So when God says that we are to be kind and considerate of others, when God says that when you speak to others, speak kindly and speak with consideration and be gracious in your manner and always be kind and considerate and gracious to others, we obey. And when God says that this is what I will you to do, and this is how I would like you to live in the local church and in your family home and so on, we obey. Because God won't use disobedient people. God won't use those who resist Him and stand against Him. And that's what Moses did. Moses sought to develop a walk with God and to obey His word. He didn't always succeed, but that was his rule of life. So this is what made God, what made Moses an effective servant of God. He knew he was a weak man. He met with the living and true God and he depended upon God alone for his strength. Now I bring that out because I want us to see it isn't nuclear physics or rocket science. It's actually very simple. You come to Him and you trust Him, and you walk with Him, and depend upon Him. Let's come to Him in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for Your word. And we thank You that You've called each one of Your children into service. And we thank You, You've given us gifts by Your Spirit. And we pray, our Father, that we would use our gifts. Help us, Lord, never just to be those who attend and sit in the pews, but help us to be those who are effective and active and serving. Help us to walk with You and to live lives of obedience, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.